The overall well-being of children is a concern for all of us, so when living situations for children include abuse or neglect, the state, any state, will often move in and take the children to a safer situation, meaning foster care. Oregon's foster care system has come under scrutiny several times in recent years for things like taking children to out-of-state facilities, putting them in locked facilities when detention is not warranted, and some other transgressions. The Child Welfare Section of the Oregon Department of Human Services has worked to correct problems turned up in state audits and other analyses, and a recent report from a national group takes note of the work, that is the National Coalition for Child Protection Reform. Richard Wexler is the executive director, here to talk about Oregon and foster care more generally. Richard Wexler, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
I have to compliment you on some of the stuff on your website, but you call the National Coalition for Child Protection Reform the Prius of child advocacy. What does that mean?
It means that I think we have done a good job of accomplishing more reform per dollar than any other organization. That was true even when we actually received funding and I was paid. I am now working as a volunteer. We're all volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Because of the pandemic?
No, actually, we've been volunteers for some time because when we stopped receiving grants, I had to leave NCCPR for a few years, but then I reached retirement age. So I like to say that we're funded by government grants, my Social Security checks.
That is fair enough. Okay, so the Prius of child advocacy is about reform per dollar and efficiency with the fuel you get, which is not much. Yeah.
And the idea that we have been able to show in many other states, alas, not yet Oregon, but we have been able to show examples of what works, why family preservation is almost always the safer and better option than foster care, and in several systems around the country, that has helped lead to some degree of reform effort.
So is NCCPR categorically opposed to putting children in foster care?
Absolutely not. We are opposed to needless foster care, and there is a lot of it. And I think the best way to, best way to discuss it is to come back to your introduction. You said when children are abused and neglected, the state steps in and moves them to a safer setting. Sometimes both of those things are true. But many times they were not abused or neglected. Often family poverty was confused with neglect. And in many such cases, the setting they are moved to is not safer. Think back to what happened at the Mexican border. Think back to the cries of all those children needlessly torn from everyone loving and familiar. Now, there's a difference when agencies like Oregon DHS do it. They are well motivated. They want to help. But for the child, the emotional trauma, the horror is the same. So therefore, there are times when you have to inflict that on children, yes, but many, many fewer times than is done in much of the country, and Oregon is an outlier, taking away children at a rate well above the national average. Now, to top it off, all that trauma, all that harm, we know, for example, there have been massive studies done of typical cases, not the horror stories, but the typical cases workers see. And those studies consistently find that children do better in later life when left in their own homes, even than comparably maltreated children placed in foster care. That's true even when the foster home is a good one, and the majority are. But, and this comes back to what you said about a safer setting, there has been study after study, including one of Washington and Oregon, which show abuse in 25% to 33% of family foster homes, and the rate of abuse in group homes and institutions is worse. So yes, sometimes children who have genuinely been abused and neglected to the point where there's no other choice are put in a safer setting. Many times, children who have not been abused or neglected are taken away and put in a less safe setting.
All right, so they're going to move to a place where they've got issues perhaps of the same kind, in fact, for the ones they were supposedly taken away for.
Or worse. Now, again, that's not the majority. That's 25% to 33%. But even when the foster home is a good one, as I said, the majority are, the inherent trauma of removal is every bit as severe for a child taken away in Oregon as for a child taken at the Mexican border.
Richard Wexler, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the National Coalition for Child Protection Reform. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on foster care and the way it is dealt with in our states. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Richard, who makes up the coalition?
The coalition is basically made up of, I call it, the best ad hoc think tank in child welfare. So that our board includes people like Professor Dorothy Roberts at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, who's the author of Shattered Bonds, The Color of Child Welfare. That is the definitive work on child welfare and race and the racial bias that permeates the system. Or Ruth White, who used to be Director of Housing and Homelessness for the Child Welfare League of America, and now runs the National Center on Housing and Child Welfare, or a clinical psychologist, Marty Beyer, who was instrumental in bringing reform to the Alabama system. She was brought to Oregon to try to do the same thing here back in the 1990s, but the bureaucracy swallowed up the forms and it never did the reform effort, and it never took hold. Marty, however, fell in love with Oregon and is now living in the Portland area. But it's people like that who make up our coalition.
You mentioned racial bias. Is the rate of children taken out of homes higher for families of color than for white families?
Oh, absolutely. In Oregon, black children are in foster care at double the rate in the general population, and Native American children are in foster care at five times the rate as the general population. That alone doesn't prove racial bias. What proves racial bias is the fact that study after study after study has found that even when you take out all other factors, there is a difference in terms of rates of removal and reporting and everything else if a child is non-white. For example, in one county in New York State, this isn't even a study, this was an actual real-world process, they changed the system to create what they call blind removal meetings. And that means before the child is removed, the case has to be presented to a committee. But all information that identifies the race or the income of the family is redacted. As soon as they made that change, removals of black kids plummeted. Similarly, when workers are given hypothetical cases where everything is identical except the race, they are more likely to rate a child as at risk if the child is black. And one of the good things about the recent Secretary of State's audit is they have begun to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. In Oregon, you mean?
Yes, in Oregon.
All right. So yeah, you put some stuff up about that recently. What are you seeing in Oregon that does seem to be on a track to approval? And it was a fairly qualified recognition of improvement.
Well, unfortunately, the only improvement is the fact that at least the Secretary of State's office, which put out an audit 2 years ago, which totally ignored these issues, now recognizes them, understands that wrongful removal drives everything else. Again, Oregon is an outlier, about 30-35% above the national average. It is more like about 60% above the statewide average in California. There is no evidence that Oregon children are 60% safer than California children, and no evidence that they are 30% safer than children nationally. So at least there is now a recognition of that it has done nothing for child safety, and that there is an urgent need to focus on this problem, which drives everything else. Because in addition to the harm done to the children needlessly taken, we often hear about how terribly overloaded caseworkers are, mm-hmm. and that's true. They don't have time to investigate any case with the care that they should be able to do. And that's why children in real danger are sometimes overlooked, and those are the cases that rightly make headlines. So this take-the-child-and-run approach in Oregon makes all children less safe. And I would add just one footnote to that. I said California statewide is much better. There's an exception. Humboldt County, California, has a worse rate of removal than Oregon. It is the child removal capital of California. So if you're listening in Humboldt County, probably everything we're talking about is worse where you are.
Huh. And in fact, we do have Humboldt County listeners,
yeah.
and a signal in Humboldt County. So any indication specifically about what it is in Humboldt County that is done differently?
No, but there seem to be places. One of the interesting things about these systems is that they are arbitrary, capricious, and cruel. So there will be wide variations from state to state. Again, even when you factor in rates of child poverty, for example, There will be wide differences from county to county in systems like California's, where individual counties run the system. There tends to be a kind of culture of removal where everybody assumes that there's a child abuser under every bed, that all cases are like the horror stories, and that anybody who is accused must be guilty and must be a horrible person. None of those things is true. The biggest problem in the system is the confusion of poverty with neglect, compounded by racial bias, where the issue is drug use, and of course that comes up often. Quite often the problem is the take the child and run response to drug use. We know, for example, from the last great drug plague, crack cocaine, there was a study done of infants born with cocaine in their systems. Those infants, their actual physical development was better when left with mothers able to care for them than when placed in foster care. That doesn't mean you can leave children with parents who are hopelessly addicted. It does mean that where addiction impairs parenting, drug treatment for the mother is almost always the better option than foster care for the child.
Richard Wexler, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Executive Director of the National Coalition for Child Protection Reform, making the case that if kids should be taken into foster care, there should be solid reasons for doing that, and they find those reasons wanting in a lot of cases. You can join into the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Does this become, Richard, do you think, a hitting the number kind of thing? Some sense that if our numbers are higher, we must care more about kids, or the other way around, that people would criticize Alabama because low rate of placements means they don't care or something?
Well, there are people who might make that criticism of Alabama. However, Alabama did this as a result of a class action court decree, a very unusual, innovative settlement. By the way, another NCCPR board member was co-counsel for the plaintiffs in that case. You asked who the coalition is. But what they had was independent court monitors who said they did this with no compromise of child safety. I mean, one of the things that was so terribly alarming about the previous audit and why I think Oregon is now making progress, the 2018 audit, the lead auditor went on the radio and said, yes, Oregon, by the way, is an outlier. We don't, in terms of taking away so many children, we don't know if that's good or bad. Well, the good news is now with a new Secretary of State in this new audit, now they know. And they have made clear it is bad, it is not making children safe, it is driving everything else. For example, you have heard all the talk and all the complaints about how it's like a giant game of whack-a-mole almost, only with real children. First, they are placed out of state. People have a fit about that, as they should. Then they wind up in hotel rooms. Then people get upset about that, so they wind up in repurposed jails. People get upset about that, then they wind up back out of state, and on and on. And that's because it's not because there's a shortage of placements. It's because there are too many children in foster care. If you stopped taking away kids needlessly, you'd have room for the children who really need to be in foster care, and you wouldn't have to put them in jails, in hotel rooms, in night-to-night placements, or out of state.
Richard, I can imagine this is very subject to politics, though. I mean, it seems like any state could say out loud, we're going to work a lot harder to keep families together, but one child severely abused at home can kindle renewed calls for greater scrutiny and higher removal rates.
Well, the calls for greater scrutiny are always valid. It's the high removal rates that's the problem. You're absolutely right. It's a phenomenon called foster care panic, and that has happened in Oregon in recent years. So you will have a high-profile death, and everybody will run scared. And yes, there are politicians who will exploit those tragedies and say, see, look what happened there. That means we need to take away more children. What happens then is you make everything worse. The system becomes more overloaded. More children's lives are destroyed by needless foster care. And with all those increased caseloads, more children fall through the cracks and you actually miss more children in real danger. In the few places that are so large that you can measure it, foster care panics tend to be, not always, but tend to be followed by increases in child abuse deaths, probably because the system is further overloaded. So yes, resisting that kind of politicization, resisting that kind of political pressure is extremely important.
So, wow, what are the steps toward reform then? I mean, it takes an adjustment in training, but it also takes a change to department philosophy, it would seem.
It is urgent to change the philosophy. One of the most useful things you can do, however, is simply to level the playing field. As a practical matter, there is no due process for families. Caseworkers can either remove children on their own authority before going to court or get law enforcement to do it for them. It varies from state to state. And once in court, there is an extremely low standard of proof, and most important, there is almost always no effective counsel for families. Now, in a few jurisdictions, Washington State has done some of this, New York City has done a lot of it, you provide families with a defense team, a lawyer with a reasonable caseload, a social worker of their own who can challenge the cookie-cutter service plans that are issued by agencies like DHS, and sometimes a parent who's been through the system herself. Now, there was a massive study done of this in New York City, which takes away children, by the way, at a rate well under half the rate of Oregon. And what they found was this system of high-quality family defense significantly reduced foster care with no compromise of child safety. And, by the way, it's probably at least cost-neutral. It may even be a money saver because foster care is so expensive. So that actually would be step number one, level the playing field case by case. And that can help change attitudes systemically.
All right, so due process for the parents. I mean, do you have any figures in front of you about how often the placement happens because the parents are arrested?
I do not have any specific to arrest. The most common source of placement doesn't even involve a criminal charge. It involves, quote, neglect, unquote, which often is poverty. So that, for example, there are multiple studies which show that 30% of the children nationwide who are in foster care today could be home right now if their parents simply had decent housing. And indeed, the new Secretary of State's office in Oregon also mentions housing as a significant barrier to keeping families together. There have been multiple studies that show what I call the transformative power of cash. Simple, small amounts of cash are enough to avoid what systems call neglect. Raise the minimum wage $1 an hour, what systems call neglect goes down 10%. Provide housing vouchers, and of course fewer children are removed because so many children are removed for lack of housing.
So we're almost out of time here, Richard. Is Oregon like at the top of your list of states for attention?
It is certainly one of the top. I suppose one could argue it's reassuring. There are places that are worse. There are places that take away children at a higher rate, but there are many that take away children at a lower rate. And what's most important is this. There are very few systems that get this right, or even close. But the few that do better all have realized that you can't have child safety without family preservation. And unless you rebuild around safe, proven alternatives to foster care, you will never improve child safety.
All right. We've learned a lot here and lots of efforts going on. Are there any states in particular in the couple seconds we have left like 20 states you're not paying much attention to because they're doing well?
No, there's no place that's doing well enough to not get our attention, and that should get everybody's attention.
All right. Richard Wexler, Executive Director, National Coalition for Child Protection Reform.